You are listening to Prepare the Way of the Lord, an Advent devotional. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
Our devotion for this Christmas day, December 25th, is from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Dear friends, greetings to all of you on this most holy day in the life of the church, this most significant day in the history of our world. Christmas is, without question, the most important event that has ever happened. When Jesus came into this world, it changed the course of our world forever. In fact, much of what's happening throughout the world, as we all know today, is a direct result of what happened on that first Christmas. Families will be gathering in their homes. People will be traveling to spend time with loved ones. Almost everyone is doing something to celebrate. But what is it finally that makes this day so different? A lot of things have happened since the world began. Why is this day so unique? And why is it that out of all the things that have happened since the time the world began, that this one event continues to stand out above the rest? Well, there are countless ways we could come at that question today. Today, I'd like us to consider just one. Jesus came into this world for you. He came into this world for you. Let's start today with a question. How many people do you think went out this year and found a Christmas tree? Well, the answer is a lot. A lot of people did, including me. I went out with my wife and we found the perfect tree. We cut it down in the Home Depot parking lot, threw it on our car, drove it home, and we were all set. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you know where the first Christmas tree was found? Not the first one this year, the first one planted, but the first one ever. Do you know where it was found? It was not at Home Depot. It was not cut down and put into someone's living room and decorated with lights. It was found in the Bible, and it's still there. Matthew chapter 1, right before the story of the angel appearing to Joseph in a dream and telling him that Mary, his betrothed, was carrying a child that was the Son of God, there's a genealogy. It's a family tree that links Jesus Christ with King David, and King David with Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. Now, most people, when they come to those places in the Bible, the genealogies, they skip over them and move on to whatever it is that follows. But when it comes to this particular chapter in Matthew's gospel, chapter 1, don't do it, because it's important. It is the first Christmas tree. It is the first family tree that points to Christ. And what's so fascinating about this first Christmas tree is that it not only tells us where Jesus came from, his family line, but also, and more importantly, who he came for. We don't have time to go through the whole list, but if you go through the list, it doesn't take long to figure out that there were quite a few broken ornaments on that first Christmas tree. Look at some of the names. Manasseh. Do you know who Manasseh was? He was an evil man. Read his story. You'll find out that he threw his firstborn son in a fire in a sacrifice, as a sacrifice to a pagan god. And then there's Judah. There are a lot of good things about Judah. Oh, a lot of bad things as well. He was one of the worst kind of adulterers that ever lived. Read Genesis chapter 38. And he was a hypocrite. And then there is Rahab. You remember Rahab. She was a foreigner and she made her living as a prostitute. And then you come to King David. Of all people, it says David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Now, if you know his story, he was an adulterer and a murderer. And all for self-gain. You don't have to read too far between the lines to figure out what Matthew is telling us. What he's telling us is not only where Jesus came from, his family line, but who he came for. He came for sinners. He came for those who were left out. He came for anyone in this world who's ever tried to keep things together in their life, but could not. I don't know if you know the name of Bill Veeck. Bill Veeck was one of the most colorful personalities in Major League Baseball. At various times, he owned franchises in Cleveland, St. Louis, and Chicago. More than anything, he was known best for his publicity stunts, like the time when he hired Eddie Goodell, a midget, to serve as a pinch hitter, like the time when he installed an exploding scoreboard with sound effects and fireworks, like the time, to his credit, when he signed Larry Doby, the first African American to play in the American League, when all but three of the team members shook Doby's hand, Bill Veeck got rid of those three. Veeck tells the story of one Christmas when he bought a rocking horse for his granddaughter. It came in a box, he said, that contained 189 parts with instructions that guaranteed it could be put together in an hour. Veeck said, sure it could, if you just graduated from MIT and had a machine shop in your basement. He said it took him almost all night to put it together. He was so frustrated, so tired on Christmas Day, that when he wrote the check to pay for the rocking horse, he tore it into 189 pieces. He then sent the check with a note that said, if you like putting things together so much, then work on this. He concluded by saying, there's one sad note to my story. They did. Now you tell me, and be honest, have you ever had trouble putting your life together? Have you ever had times in your life when you could not get all of the pieces to fit? There's an answer, and his name is Jesus. There's a solution to your problem and frustration, and his name is Christ. I can't recall anywhere in the Bible where Jesus told his followers, believe the following things and your life is going to be okay. Do the following things and everything in your life will fall into place. People believe that, but it's not true. Jesus never said that. What he said was, follow me. What he said was, learn in your life what it means to trust. Jesus said, I did not come into this world to call the righteous, but sinners. He said, it's not the well who need a physician, but those who are sick. Now, maybe you're thinking, Bishop Dan, you don't know my life. You have no idea what I've done. You're right, I don't. You don't know what I've done either. But Jesus does. He knows my life and yours. You want to know the truth about Christmas? Most people don't want to know the truth. The truth about Christmas is that Jesus is the only person who's ever lived who was born into this world to die. And he was born to die because you need a savior. And so do I. And so he did. He died on a tree. And not one you'll find at Home Depot. And not even in that first Christmas family tree from Matthew chapter 1. But on a cross. On a hill called Calvary. For your sins and for mine. And so, what is it that makes this day so different? Why is this day so unique? And why are people all throughout the world celebrating an event that happened so long ago? They are celebrating for many reasons, but one reason stands out above the rest. Jesus was God. He came into this world to save you, and he did, on a tree, so that you and I might live with him forever. My friends, on this day when we celebrate our Lord's birth, the calling we've been given is to simply believe it, to trust in it, and to build your life upon it. God loves you more than you will ever know. To all of you, a very Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the saving work you accomplished for us in your Son. Help us to trust in him, not only on this day when we celebrate his birth, but each day until you call us home eternally to live with you. In his name we pray. Amen. On this Christmas day, the action I would challenge you with today is to make sure that in your prayers and with your family and friends, whatever it is you do, include a prayer of thanks to Jesus. And perhaps even if it's by yourself, include not only a prayer of thanks, but a prayer that our Lord would live with you, and be among you in the coming weeks and year ahead. God's blessings to all of you on this Christmas day. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.